live from Station Con again. It's still the Awesome Cast. Hey folks, and welcome to the Awesome Cast in 2020. I'm Basil.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Charlie.
I'm Dylan.
I'm John.
Do you also come from the land of the ice and snow?
Yeah. This is really just the opening to Thor Ragnarok.
Tired ass. The best.
David Lynch is Thor Ragnarok.
No. Go to hell.
What did Thor do?
What did Thor do? And why is he a monkey?
There's some online petition to have David Lynch replace Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Is this real?
Are you just assuming? You're probably right.
How much does it cost to start a petition on change.org?
$0.
We're going to make it.
The internet... I don't know.
Can we reverse this? Start a petition to have Brie Larson replace David Lynch in What Did Jack Do?
Yes.
On Netflix.
Yes, please.
That'd be fun. My problem with that is that movie will still have existed and I will still have seen it. And
you should be grateful. It's great.
Do you think you rolled a 7?
It's definitely the type of thing.
I'm coming home from Christmas tonight.
It's the lynchiest thing that ever Lynchian.
It's very distilled.
Very early 2000s Adult Swim.
You crammed all the David Lynch into a short movie.
It's like Too Many Cooks, but only just like David Lynch.
But the serial killer is a talking monkey. Otherwise, completely identical.
Now we don't know if it's a serial killer. It might just be
true. The monkey,
just a crime of passion.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a crime of passion.
Perhaps the monkey was framed. Maybe he really is innocent.
Listen,
maybe it's a damn janitor.
Once you get your hands up underneath those feathers and feel those full breaths, there is nothing like it.
He knew what he was writing when he wrote that.
Of course he knew what he was writing.
I get it. I get the joke.
I mean, yeah, no, David Lynch always knows what he's writing. Just that they're up to the rest of us.
How
to try
is
to
it
sort
weird
it
that he does know what he's doing?
How is Chicken Attack not the theme song for that short film?
Because that's about chickens attacking, not chickens being attacked.
We don't know that a chicken was attacked, do we?
I think that was the whole gist of the...
Now we're getting to spoilers here. We want to spoil.
It's
a Lynch movie when it's just about a guy talking to a talking monkey, and we have deep questions.
So, no spoilers.
So here we are at Station Con X.
You pronounced it wrong.
Szechuan Con.
Seishokan.
You still pronounced it wrong.
Oh, my bad. We're at Station Con!
Thank you.
10.
With our Bodies and our weed.
You know, I've yet to actually go to Mark and scream Station Con at him.
Ever?
One more day.
No, here at the con.
Oh.
I do it all the time.
At other cons.
At other cons. Even at Station Con. But just not this time.
We have one more chance.
Yeah, I'll have to go track him down.
Deliver the news. So he knows
where
he is.
Good news. Good news that his Station Con is good. And you should go one year. It's a fun time. You should go every year, really. But
Jesus Christ is Mark.
You should go this year, except you can't.
The con named after the summer of our youth that's actually in the winter.
Yep. And then you should go to HammerCon.
Except
you can't. As long as you travel backwards in time.
Too soon, man.
Travel backwards in time.
Soon.
I still have a plan. Start printing off flyers or get leftover flyers from previous years and just hand them out to people at some con table where a con didn't show up to promote. It's like, here, you got a time machine for here. Come for a visit.
For some reason,
this is HammerCon 7. It was real good.
What is this? HammerCon registration go to a Venmo account.
Never mind.
I mean, I could do that.
You could do that. Uh-huh.
I have the power. I'm not going to use that power. That's terrible.
Illegal,
but I do love the concept of you grabbing a bunch of old flyers for HammerCon
and just hand
stealing them to someone's table.
You know what you need to do? You just need to post them outside some random CBD store.
Hey, you know what table no one's ever at? The MTAC table.
What? I just imagine, though, you running up to a bunch of people going, "It's the con, Marty! You gotta go back to the con!"
If we could get a Doc Brown cosplayer to pass out flyers from previous years.
No, you're fine, but your kids cosplays, Marty.
I think you're thinking too small. I think we actually need to get Christopher Lloyd.
Well, I think they actually go back in time.
The man is a legend. We can't afford him for this bit.
He was in the Oogie Loves. How much dignity could he have, and how much money could he need?
If the check clears, he'll show.
And how often can we get him to talk about, like, Speed Racer, Gigantor, the things that he really enjoyed in Japanese animation in his youth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know a guy that knows a guy. We could make this happen.
It's your kids, Marty. Your kids' cosplays are terrible.
Who taught them how to style a wig?
They just bought them off of Amazon. It's just screen printed.
They didn't even make their costumes, Marty.
Wait, are we now going into Back to the Future, or are we now start dipping into Rick and Morty? I'm not sure anymore.
I will say that one thing from one. Like Back to the Future 2 that might have existed, that exists now, are those sunglasses that you can have the messages go by on. Like, that feels like
something I have literally that would be in seen Back to the Future.
To distill it, it feels like something the 80s thought would appear in the future.
Yes.
I actually saw some girl wearing, like, some kind of glasses that had a message going across it.
Yeah,
we all saw the same thing. None of us hallucinated that, which is good.
Which is good.
I didn't really think anything of it, because I'm used to cons.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sure, that's a thing, and I'm an old person who doesn't understand it.
Look, it took me a while to realize that somebody in Walmart was wearing a cape and an eye patch, and that might be weird. That's
not weird for Walmart.
Like, you know.
The thing is, the eye patch was probably medical, not aesthetic.
No, it was definitely like a pirate eye patch.
probably a medical necessity.
Just let me know if you see somebody that's, like, 7 feet tall, wearing athletic shorts, and, like, has his arms and legs bandaged up like he's a Muay Thai fighter, because I really want to see that dude.
Now, something that, you know, was sweet. And I had thought about, and this is now like talking shop about the podcast itself, but there was a podcast here that actually had a fan table. Is that something that we ever want to do at a con?
No.
We did that at a con.
Yeah, we did.
Knoxville 1 year.
Yeah, we recorded from that.
It was a very small con. And
as befitting our stature.
I only say no, because that means one of us would have to man it.
That is true.
No, I disagree with that. No. MTAC being the prime example.
Yeah, I would have to agree. MTAC being the prime example that you don't have to.
Here's what we do. We make some cassette tapes of episodes. We get some old tape players, put some headphones in them, just lay them out on the table, and let people just put
Charlie,
the headphones on.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Let's get just like a video of one of our interviews, only we're just recording someone else that's doing the interview.
Oh, good God. That was weird to walk into a convention and see myself on a television.
Someone else's podcast.
It's just me and, was it Dan Green?
Yeah.
Dan
it looks like Green. Me and Dan Green are just having a nice one-on-one. That was so weird.
Yeah.
I did not sign any waiver for him to use my likeness. No. It was fun, though.
I will say, though, that I feel like, given what podcasting is, especially like fan podcasting, this is a vanity project. Getting a table is a vanity project.
Everything is vanity.
Yeah. I think that's Ecclesiastes.
Whatever. Sir.
Sir.
You watch yourself.
I mean, we have mirrors. So we're in a hotel room. Like, that's...
You're in a hotel
that's
room.
That's something that he can do, theoretically.
Wildly inconsistent lighting fixtures.
Yes.
They really are... that's not...
Our review of SessionCon should just be a review of the lighting features in the hotel. So SessionCon's a condo. Let's get down to this lighting. Could they pick a shape, please? And stick with it?
I mean, they had a couple of shapes. They almost did. Then they have a really weird line thing despite the TV for
this light up vertical shower rail.
Do you know what? There's this weird vertical shower rail. Is this for, you know, a handicap accessibility? No, it's a light.
That lights up exactly nothing.
Yeah.
A small patch of wall.
It's a weird fucking hotel, okay? There, yeah, I said it.
I mean, it is shaped like a spinal cord with ribs around it.
And again, I think it was meant to be a giant robot.
I was about to say, does the elevator go all the way down to Central Dogma? Is that what's happening here?
Well, I mean, to get to the other really rooms, is you have to given walk the, along a terror yeah. ledge.
Given the budget involved, if you couldn't finish building an Ava, the only reasonable response would be to turn it into a hotel.
Mm-hmm. An organic hotel.
Yeah.
An Orgtel.
I mean,
that's one of somebody's mom.
But now think about Orgus.
Orgus.
Oh man, I miss Orgus. We should review Orgus someday.
I should actually watch all of Orgus someday. Yeah,
right? Same.
Just have a big orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. All I remember is there's a guy from Earth and he screws up reality and he ends up in a world that's a whole bunch of worlds crammed together and he gets a robot and there's a couple girls who are twins and have head tentacles and they hold head tentacles sometimes. Yeah, that's all I remember.
That's super normal.
There's a dragon, I think.
All right, cool.
This is all fine.
I'm down.
Nothing weird for anime, to be honest. But
no, really not.
Yeah, really, you should see what they're taking out of the widescreen.
So, Shelley, moments of awesome.
It's a moment of awesome.
Charlie, what's your moment of awesome?
Does it have to be of a convention or just anything?
Anything.
It's Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a show on Netflix, and if you're not watching it, you should be watching it. Why aren't we watching it right now?
We could review it. We could live review it.
That's Funimation's new slogan, you should be watching. Why aren't we watching it right now?
Because you took it off the channel, Funimation. You accidentally licensed porn.
What were you thinking? But no, it's an excellent show.
Yeah, Kipo is not porn. Kipo is fun.
No, it's got a great soundtrack, and it's about a post-apocalyptic world and a girl that lived with her family in a burrow and accidentally got shot out of it and has to befriend some people and find her family.
And there's all these animals that are giant, or they talk.
Or both.
And it's there is a mystery.
There is a mystery.
And a cool soundtrack. A really cool soundtrack.
Yeah, very excellent.
But I saw that too. I liked it immensely. Yes.
And John Hodgman plays a wolf astrophysicist.
Oh, he does. Oh, that was John Hodgman. Oh shit.
Yeah.
That was great.
as Billions.
I didn't recognize him as, you know, not being a PC.
It's weird.
Oh please, John Hodgman has done multiple things now. True. He was in the latest season of The Tick.
Oh, rest so in good, peace. Matt.
Wait, they're still making that?
No.
Like, they haven't canceled that?
No, they did. They only made the two seasons, but they're two really good seasons.
Is that not the history of The Tick, just in a nutshell?
Two seasons and a 10-year lapse.
But they're all really good two seasons.
Yeah.
I was hoping a live-action show would get to the other Tick, a.k.a. Barry. I just wanted that fight. Because my favorite part from the Tick animated series is the other guy going, call me the Tick. And the Tick is like, no, your name is Barry. Barry, 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 Barry.
My favorite part was the Midnight Bomber, bombs at midnight.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Same episode.
Oh, wow. Huh.
It's a good episode.
It is a very good episode. But yes, Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. It's not Kubo and the Two Strings, but you will want to think that, even though they're vastly different.
Kubo and the Age of Wonder Beasts.
Yes.
Kipo and the Two Strings.
But it's delightful, and even cynical old men find that they can hope again after watching it, according to Chad.
I hope just a little bit after it. So, yeah. Just a little bit.
So that's my moment.
I hope for the apocalypse.
Awesome. Dylan, give me a moment of awesome.
So, let's say, you know, The Good Place has ended. You've blown through all, like, 12, 13 episodes of Laid Back Camp, and you need something wholesome, because that's what you like to watch on TV.
Sure, let's assume
I'm going to recommend to you the finest show that Prestige TV has ever produced, and that is Joe Pera Talks With You.
I think I actually looked some of that up after you mentioned it the first time.
What?
It is extremely interesting.
That's an Adult Swim show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So the setup, when you first watch it, it's this kind of, like, really super, like, laid-back, quiet guy who's a choir teacher who does these, like, educational videos and shows you around the town of Mark... I can't remember the name. Somewhere in
Mark
Michigan.
Mark Cuban?
No. It's just this, like, quiet, laid-back, wholesome show, like, horrible things happen in some of these episodes, but it's all like, it's fine. It's fine. It's great.
This is a show for people who are like having really weird, like, like psychedelic experiences. For people that are having bad drug experiences, this is a show that sort of like brings you down while like being funny.
Maybe, but it will make you feel safe even if you are not on drugs.
Yes. And but I think it's for people on drugs.
It might be, but I don't think.
Okay, is it on Adult Swim? The answer is yes, it's for people on drugs.
But usually it's to enhance a high. I think this is to bring you down from a bad high.
But no, it's one of those things, like, if you really get into, there is a storyline. Like, the last three episodes have been really heavy, and that sounds crazy to say if you haven't watched them. But it does get heavy. But yeah, it's just this nice, wholesome, like, he goes to this bachelor party with a bunch of bros, and they all end up talking about their feelings. The neighbors are obviously having problems in their marriage, but it's mostly because the dude has gotten on this diet where he's replaced his dinner with eating, like, two whole rotisserie chickens in the shower, you know? You know, there are preppers, but it's fine, you know?
It's a live-action show?
This is a live-action show.
And what is the show again?
Joe Pera Talks With You.
All right. And where can we find this again?
Adult Swim.
But you can go on YouTube and just look him up, and there are, like, plenty of clips. That's after you mentioned it, that's where I went and looked some of the videos up.
Well, speaking of YouTube, my thing is actually one of those crazy things all the kids love, like, listening and watching, which are people playing Dungeons and Dragons for their amusement. Mm. I'm talking about the Dungeon Run. It's actually, you can watch it or listen to it three different ways. Like, they record it live on caffeine.tv because it's being produced by caffeine.tv to sort of bring people to their network.
First time I've heard of it.
It's also on YouTube because they record it live and then they put it on YouTube. They also then also spit it out as an audio podcast, which is how I mostly listen to it.
So what is it about it that distinguishes it from, like, Adventure Zone and Critical Role?
The big thing is that it's, I mean, the big thing, sorry, Adventure Zone is that it's filmed. But it's actually, like, on a soundstage where everyone's, you know, well-mic'd. It actually has, like, elaborate props. There's actually a camera crew, so it's actually, like, you know, going past people.
Okay.
So, like, they usually have gigantic, like, elaborate, like, models that are also double as maps sometimes. Or just maps with customized miniatures. Like, they once were in, like, a big old, they were climbing up this series of, like, levels and ramps and stairwells to try and free this gigantic, like, titan-like being. Like, a giant robot, but the robot was people. And so they actually built a whole model of the dude, of this, like, electrical, like, elemental titan dude.
Oh, wow.
Like, and the lights were, like, flashing and stuff, and they actually had to move their miniatures up, you know, actually climbing this structure. They've done, like a big old, like, pirate ship as a model and all sorts of things. Sometimes it's just maps, but they go out, like, they clearly have a crew of actual, like, prop makers and stuff to actually build, like, sets, as it were. And then why it's on Caffeine is because people actually can buy stuff while they're playing the game on the show. Like, they have, you can buy advantages or disadvantages for rolls.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if, say, one character is going to roll, they'll go, wait, do I have advantage? And Dungeon Master Jeff Cannata, who does an amazing job, he'll tell them, yes, you have advantage from so-and-so. It was countered by so-and-so because someone also purchased a disadvantage.
Oh, wow.
In response. And so sometimes they'll get things just because people are trying to keep everything on a level playing field.
Bidding wars, basically. Yeah.
And then they also have these things called Forces of Good and Evil cards, where those are actual cards that at this point now are written by the actual audience. Through audience submissions that actually are like things that you can play in response or things. Like, for example, they might say, hey, you just got 50 gold but now it does a thing where, okay, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to roll, like, 20 dice, and for every two matches, you get that gold times 10. And so if you roll, like, you know, 20 dice and you get two twos, that'd be 20 gold.
Okay.
Like, and stuff like that. There's also, like, things that have adjusted, like, combat and whatnot. And so it gives people, like, a chance to, you know, sort of interact. They also have an animatronic mind flayer, who is the quote-unquote, that's also being acted out, who is the host of the program.
Oh.
So they actually have him, like lifting his tentacles, like, up and down and stuff. And he also talks, like, they have an intermission, so he talks to the chat and stuff. And it's like, they got, it's very, very similar to Critical Role in that it's filmed in, like, L.A., so the entire cast are also, you know, up-and-coming actors and actresses. So they know how to act. Jeff Cannata's been in the business for years. And he once had a whole plot line just so he could use his really, really, really good Donald Duck voice. And then be able to make a DuckTales joke.
Oh, wow.
Like, it turned out, like, the entire, like, reason that they were doing this particular campaign bit to throw down this line, and it worked. It's a really fun show. Like, it's one of the things, like, it's downside or plus side. Usually every episode's like 3 to 4 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like a full-on session.
Oh, that's a commitment.
Like, it's a commitment.
Yeah.
But right now, I've got like a 2-hour commute. So it gets the weekends through. But it's, again, it's like, and it's really partially sometimes fun just to watch, you know, the video version of it. And for those that are, you know, watching live at home on Wednesday nights, you know, you're buying those forces of good and evil and, you know, throwing it, you know, purchasing advantages and whatnot. So you kind of get to see it live, how people are reacting and stuff. And it's a real, real good time. I've enjoyed it a lot. It might now actually be my favorite, like, people playing D&D for my amusement type of show.
Cool.
Which is a genre now.
It is, which is crazy.
Yeah,
but
it really is. We should do that.
We should do that.
Yeah, let's get in early while there's money to be made from it.
Hey, we have a Patreon. People spend money, and I quit my job. I'm just saying.
If you go there,
are you talking to just the people in this room?
I mean,
if you
yes,
go there,
but also the people at home.
If you go there and donate, you can get episodes ad free. You can get episodes ad free on the website too, but you know, you can also get them there.
Hey, if we start actually making money, people will actually want to then buy ads.
Yeah, you can subscribe to our Patreon and come see our you know, live cam shows and our NSFW ASMR videos.
I mean, they're all of me, but you know, that's
what show is this? I thought this was the Awesome Cast, because it's not the Awesome Cast.
And now, a word from our sponsors: Stitch Fix and Casper Mattress
and Squarespace
and Stamps.com.
KiwiCo.
Now,
forhims.com.
Admittedly, I actually do really like Quip.
AG.
Like, Quip actually is a really good toothbrush. I'm actually really down with Quip.
Send us money, Quip.
That's fair.
Like, Ann and I, we end up getting Quips, and they are really good toothbrushes.
Mike Bloomberg, 2020.
I can't support that.
Has life ever gotten you down, treated you unfairly? Well, it happened to Mike Bloomberg. He got fired for reasons that we don't actually know. He may have peed in somebody's soup for all I know, but he got fired at 39 and then became a billionaire and decided to run for president. And that's all I really know about him, because he fucking advertises 24/7 on every goddamn platform imaginable.
Oh, man,
even in my sleep.
How did he buy space there?
You guys need to understand.
Through Squarespace.
I take multiple medications just so I can sleep through the night, and somehow he's in there.
I feel like if you're going to have political dreams, that's probably the, at least it's,
to be fair, it's not the worst political dream, I guess.
He's in cahoots with your medicine company. They're putting the dreams in your medicine.
I'm on 400 milligrams of an antipsychotic. How is he there?
It's in the antipsychotic.
It's clearly not working.
It's encoded in the drug.
God, I almost believe that's possible, though. That's the state we live in. So, what's a good thing in life?
Eric Mendez. I'm gonna make this an Erica Mendez appreciation moment of awesome.
Let's do it.
Really cool person. She does a lot of great work, but just I've always liked her as a person. She's really cool.
Fun human being.
Fun human being. Yeah. You should have her at her. You should have her at your local anime convention, and you should treat her well,
just like she was here.
Yes,
but you can't see her here
because you weren't there.
Unless you're already here. In which case, why can't we see you? Are you behind us? What are you doing in this room?
What? Erica Mendez.
Because when you're listening to this, now is then.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
We're traveling through time to your future.
When is then?
Well, now is now. And now is John telling us how cool Erica Mendez is.
Which is a thing that's happened previously. But will probably continue to happen. Yeah. But we're speaking of events that have already happened.
Yes.
But whoever's listening to this is going to be listening to this in the future, and this will all be the past.
And you can see her in events in both your future and our future.
Honestly, give it a couple weekends, she'll probably be somewhere. And go see her, whatever con she ends up at.
Do so, or
watch Sailor Moon.
Yeah, watch Sailor Moon.
Or Aggretsuko.
Or Kill la Kill.
Or follow her on Twitter.
Don't That's watch Shield Hero, the single but greatest
handle in all of social media.
Yeah.
I forget, what is it?
Sindarica.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Crushed it.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Anna? She's probably got a moment.
She's awesome. Does Anna exist? I would absolutely recommend having Anna in your life at every moment possible.
Let's have a moment of Anna.
I really subscribe to that newsletter, but...
Indeed. You're the top donor on that Patreon. Although I'm the second best friend. So,
Anna, edit this in.
Yeah, you're great. Because you're great.
And let's all go around have podcast. A moment of Anna where we talk about Anna.
I love her a lot.
Like she's not here.
Anna's cool. And she does a lot of hard work for this podcast.
And she's a fancy lady that works for space people.
Yes.
Prove me. Where's the lie? I dare any of you to spot the lie, because there isn't one.
The great thing is I can say my dad is a space people, so that's a... in this scenario.
My dad's a vampire.
Vampire space people.
But not as cool as that sounds.
No, really not.
Yeah, it's like the dumb kind.
He is a daywalker, though, so he probably, sucked the blood of a lesbian. Is that how that works?
That's how Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter told us it worked.
Okay.
Canada's got the weirdest vampires.
Some vampires sparkle. Some drink the blood of lesbians. There is no uniform vampire laws.
Yeah. Apparently it's a regional...
Every vampire is different. They play by different rules.
Some vampires have to fuck every grain of rice before they can come in your door.
That's totally true. That's Chinese vampires. Everyone knows that.
So what would be Georgia vampires?
Oh, they have to have sex with peaches.
Probably.
They have to stop at every single pecan sign, which is why you never ever see one.
They can go out in sunlight, they just have to have their MAGA hat on.
Yeah, they have to eat at every Waffle House they come across.
And they fear the giant chicken. Chicken like no other.
I thought it was Big Chicken, or is it Giant Chicken?
That big giant chicken is a god, and you will worship him, her.
Mega Ultra Chicken.
You'll worship that giant cock.
Yeah, you will.
And that brings us back to Ghostbusters. Ray getting his dick sucked by ghosts.
Thing that made us decide we should be recording.
Yes. And then Egon moved the containment unit to the middle of nowhere to keep Ray from letting out ghosts to suck him off. Come on, Ray. Egon said no, and yet you persist. So I guess I gotta move this 5-ton nuclear whatever it out to a farm.
We had to wire up a few proton packs for power while they moved it, and they were like, oh god, I hope this doesn't run down.
Yeah,
ghost sex is a weird fetish to have.
Years after Slimer got put in the containment unit, they just kept calling Ray Slimer for some reason.
It's weird. I don't know what happened there. But remember the end of the first movie when everyone's getting, covered in white stuff? Let's think about that for a second.
That movie is the most hardcore defense of Reaganomics I've ever seen in a film.
Oh man.
Wait, how do you figure?
The original Ghostbusters, it's all about the small businessman starting a business.
Who's the bad guy? The EPA.
The EPA.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's still a hilarious, fun movie,
it's a good movie with
questionable politics.
Yeah.
Like everything. Oh, let's just leave that. Like everything.
Weird how they only made one Ghostbusters movie and nothing after that. Huh, it's a weird true fact, everybody.
And aren't planning to make any more.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. It's such a good movie. Why wouldn't they make
more? Well, it was that one video game. Like The Matrix,
right? You'd think they'd make more of that than just the first one.
Well, yeah.
Besides that one video game, that was okay.
Exactly.
Now, they did do a really good animated compilation of short films.
That is true.
For The Matrix. That was pretty good.
Animatrix was actually pretty decent. And they only made one Highlander movie. That was on, too.
I have to break the bit because, man, Highlander 2 isn't even the worst Highlander movie. Not by a long shot.
Did you ever see the post-apocalyptic animated show?
No.
Without following, like, Quentin McCloud? Yeah.
Wasn't that on USA?
Oh,
yeah. I was thinking of...
You know it was on USA.
I was thinking of the Highlander The Source.
That Cartoon Express train ran a long fucking time.
Yeah, it did.
I remember the time I had ordered the Darkstalkers anime.
Oh no.
Instead. Oh no.
The USA series came instead.
Oh no.
And it's not like the Street Fighter series where you might willingly buy it.
Yeah. So it's somewhere in my house.
Oh no.
You didn't try to send it back?
No. No. That required effort.
Honestly, I watched the hell out of that too.
Let's not lie. I saw every fucking episode of that, of Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mortal Kombat.
Yes. God. The best Mortal Kombat story was the animated series. Certainly not the movies. Actually, the first movie was okay.
Yeah.
It's not a good comparison. If you go like, the 80s or 90s animated adaptation of this video game was the best story.
You know what is cool though? The actor who played Shang Tsung in the original movie plays Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat 11.
Really?
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Like, that's a real thing that's going on.
I should know his name, and I'm blanking on it.
Shang Tsung. The other thing that was really great, but we didn't get here in America, I think it was like in Europe or something, there's a Mortal Kombat 11 commercial that featured Christopher Lambert.
As Raiden?
Yeah,
obviously,
well,
as Raiden.
He was as himself, but he was playing Raiden in the game and beating this guy's ass. And he's like, "How are you so good? This game just came out." And he just looks at him and says, "Oh, you know, I've kind of got a connection with the character." And then he does the weird laugh, the weird Raiden laugh.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a fucking great commercial. Go watch it.
Europe,
they got stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not Great Britain.
Oh, damn it. Ooh,
they sure don't have a Britain.
You son of a sassafras.
Oh, press F to pay respects to, you know, Britain. Because I'm pretty sure Scotland's going to declare independence any day now.
Is this the start to Code Geass?
No, because in Code Geass, the capital of Britannia was in California.
That's true.
Because that was just even weirder than you remember it being.
I have not seen the Resurrection movie. I cannot wait for that to come out.
I hear it's interesting, but I have not seen it.
I'm just here for it to be more stupid than, you know, R2 was.
Yeah.
Like, R2 was brilliant in its commitment to just every episode had to have a bigger plot twist than the week before. They just fucking plowed ahead no matter how dumb it was. They just kept throwing another twist. I was so fucking hooked when that was going on Adult Swim. I was like, oh, I gotta be here next week because I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. But it's gonna be something.
They've activated the random twist generator.
That's a sunrise guarantee, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was what Code Geass, like, especially with season 2. Like, it was...
Yeah.
That's been their modus operandi since, and they haven't really...
I don't think they've ever done it as well as Code Geass.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
Valvrave tried, but the first season wrote checks the second season couldn't cash.
Yeah. Man, I had hopes for Valvrave.
Yeah, it did not get quite that dumb in that awesome of a way. It just kind of ended up kind of dumb.
Yeah. Well, it really wanted to be like Gundam or something. Like, it tried to be like, they went as crazy hard craziness as they could do. as wild and out there as they could think. And they're like, okay, now we have to all make sure it makes sense. That was wrong.
That was a big mistake.
I think Sunrise really needs to go back to Aura Battler Dunbine, where men wear pink and lots of it.
Yeah, and the main villain is an IT guy from Silicon Valley named Shot Weapon.
I don't know if I want to give Tomino that power anymore.
I want to give Tomino that power.
All the mechs look like bugs for some reason.
Okay, I'm not going to argue why in universe that makes sense, because it does, but that's a Thermian argument. Yeah. It doesn't explain why someone in the development office went, they're big bugs.
Yeah.
They're big piloted bugs. We'll think of how it works later.
Well, I think it was Lord of the Rings and Gundam, but instead of cool robots, they're all in bugs. But you know what? I'm still fucking in on the show. I bought the set from Sentai when it was like, $20.
Yeah, I got it super cheap too.
Yeah. And I'm like, alright, I'm fucking in.
Oh, it's great. They actually improved the subtitles for like the Blu-ray release.
I also got all Pat Labor really cheap too. Yeah. Like absurdly cheap for as much shit as
not terribly long ago they had a big sale and I got a lot of old mecha shows I like. Just they were all on sale.
Sentai has some pretty good fucking sales.
But it's I actually really like Aura Battler Dunbine. I particularly love early on, the main character and his rival, who's the main character Japanese, his rival's American, and they're throwing racial slurs back and forth at each other.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is so right. I remember seeing, like, the first couple episodes. I'm like, wait, did he just say what?
That's great.
Yeah, there's some slurs for Japanese people thrown in there.
Yeah.
Pretty liberally in the English dub.
That's a yikes for me.
And he somehow can still get gasoline for his motorcycle. Seriously.
And also, Vic Mignogna plays a Scottish dude.
Oh, wow. That's really...
Didn't age well.
I'm not watching
the dub anyway.
That's a big Dylan double yikes. I give this series 2 yikes.
As for that, the racial slur thing, it stopped after like an episode or two.
It did. It did, but it was still jarring.
Yes, it was.
It was like, what?
It's like the best part of Zeta Gundam is in the very first episode when our hero Camille, some other passing soldier guy hears his name and is like, Camille, that's a girl's name. And Camille vaults the turnstile, runs over and punches the soldier right in the face. And that's just the show just does not live up to that bar ever after. I know it's almost mecha heresy to say I'm just not that into Zeta Gundam, but it never reaches that high mark for me ever again.
So excited for those new G-Reco movies, Kevin?
Actually, yeah, and apparently the Japanese release of the first movie has English subtitles. I'm not sure if I want to take advantage of that, because it's still Japanese Blu-ray prices, and those are dumb.
Yeah, those are super dumb. Those are Aniplex dumb.
It'll probably eventually hit the U.S. somehow.
Probably through Aniplex, and you'll still have to pay the same fucking price.
I hope not, but it's a possibility.
But maybe it'll show up on Netflix, and then you won't have to pay Aniplex.
But I think I'm a small minority who actually really liked G-Reco, even though I'm like... It's like Tomino goes so hard on show, don't tell, but then he doesn't show you what you need to see. But I swear to God, there's a coherent plot in there. He's just not sharing it with us.
You have to go on several wikis to figure it out.
It takes a bit of watching, honestly. Like, it would have been better if it was about twice as long, because he does, honestly, really good at slow burn plot development. Weirdly, like, you know, give him shit for a lot of reasons, but he does good slow burn plot development because he wants to give you out little bits of material that make you see the world more clearly, just a little nugget at a time. And he kind of forgot to do that when he had only had half the length of an old school Gundam show to work with.
This is also the same guy that, like, I think in like the first episode maybe of G-Reco, where someone goes, and the reason why we're doing this is, and they cut to something else.
Yeah.
And they never cut back.
It happens somewhere in the show. Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, Tomino. Like, that's... Damn you, Tomino.
Is that Tomino or Anno? Because that sounds like a very Anno thing to do.
No, Anno would go back and show you something to explain it.
Yeah.
It might be a tenth of a second. You might have to freeze frame it several times to catch it.
I had to go through G-Reco a bit to figure out who the factions were, what did they want, and why things were going on. But there is a story there. And I think the mecha designs are really cool. But I'm looking forward to the movies that are apparently just, like, roughly about as many TV episodes as their length would suggest, just with a little bit of extra stuff added in.
Which is, like, I thought we were going to get, like, a sequel, but I think it's just retelling the same show. Yeah,
it is. You know, it tells a chunk of the show. And then he's like, yep, there's going to be more movies. And, I'd watch them, because I think I'm required to. But
it's part of his community service.
I can't not watch Gundam, right?
I mean, you can, Kevin. This is an intervention. I know that we thought this was a podcast, and it is a podcast.
I know you thought this was a convention, and it is a convention.
It's an interconvention.
But you don't have convention. You don't have to watch Gundam if you don't want to. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I mean, look at me. I don't watch Gundam, and everyone wants to be like me.
Look, if I just let myself listen to the voice that said I don't have to watch Gundam, I never would watch the Build Diver sequel, and that was actually really good compared to Build Divers. Build Divers was meh. Build Divers Re-Rise was shockingly good and apparently has stakes. We'll see in that second half in April.
All right, folks. This has been an awesome cast episode.
Sure has.
Of something.
Yep.
We talked about things. We went places.
Yeah, sure did.
You know, I never had a moment of awesome.
Didn't you?
You didn't?
I didn't.
No, you sang the thing.
I thought we started. I just sang the words.
Crap.
Yeah.
And you circled on around me.
Well, dadgummit, Kevin, what's your moment of awesome?
I don't have one.
What? Table flip.
Okay, no. I do have one. I'm just being an asshole.
It's a smart table. You tell it to flip and it flips.
No, I think we were being bad to you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I do have one because not terribly long ago, I finished a book. Because apparently I talk about books now. Seven Blades in Black by Sam Sykes.
Was that good?
Which is really good.
Oh, excellent.
Which is, and the author approved review from me was it is like Slayers and Trigun had a baby, and that baby was raised by Berserk. It's a darkly humorous, but also darkly dark fantasy adventure story about one woman's quest for revenge with her magic gun, the Cacophony, and her completely non-magic sword, Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff the magic sword.
Non-magic sword. Non-magic. The sword's completely normal. Okay. It's just named Jeff.
Sure.
Like, that is sort of the, you know, she was betrayed by her friends, left for dead, but sometimes, you know, she tells people her sword's named Jeff. It's that kind of story. And it's got crazy magic, weird side effects for using it, robots, for real, magic guns that have an agenda, people who can write on stuff and change your fundamental nature. It's crazy.
That's pretty cool.
And it really is at its core these people, what did me wrong, and I'm going to hunt them down and kill them one by one. And, you know, as we go, we find out who they were, what her relationship was with them previously, and at the end, you get a reveal that turns the whole story on its ear and makes you go, what? And I'm looking forward to the sequel. There's also a prequel novel of how she meets one of her friends / helper / on and off girlfriend. And that's also exists. And it's really fun read. I recommend it a lot.
You need to pick that up.
And it's a hefty read. It's a decently long book. I've read a lot of books that are kind of unpleasantly short recently. Like, I was just getting into it and it was over. This lasts a good, decent amount of time, and it felt like just about enough time, and it was fun.
And that's called again?
Seven Blades in Black.
By?
Sam Sykes. Who's a cool guy. You should follow him on Twitter. He's funny.
Do you know who his mom is?
I do.
Weird, right?
That is the author. His mom is the author of the Outlander novels, the weird time-traveling Scottish romance story that got made into a TV show.
And is wildly popular.
Yeah, but that's just a weird trivia factoid. The more funny factoid is I was following him on Twitter and retweeting him before I even knew he was an author.
Right?
So, speaking of Twitters, we have those things. Kevin, what's your Twitter?
At @twitless_Kevin.
Charlie can be found on Twitter as...
Is it the_sommelier?
Yes, it is. You know.
Excellent.
Dylan.
Tell him what he's won. Dylan Wolf.
That's what you've won. Dylan Wolf as a Twitter handle.
I should have said my handle was @Jack.
Tweet me at @Jack. Tweet me all your lewds.
Send lewds and nudes.
Nudes and lewds to @Jack.
But not those things to add it at It's Basil Time.
He's a married just man. Lewds. He doesn't need to see that.
Quite lewds.
And John's at...
J5 is live. J the number 5 is live. If you can't spell is live, I can't fucking help you.
And of course, you can find the podcast on Twitter at AwesomeCast or Facebook AwesomeCast.
Send complaint to @Jack.
Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah, honestly, we're on all the things now.
Grindr, OkCupid.
MMA Circuit.
What?
ESPN Plus.
ESPN The Ocho.
Disney Plus, they acquired us. We were cheap.
We're on ESPN 37.
The Ocho is a real thing. They do that every August 8th. And sometimes they show esports.
God bless them.
And like we joked previously that we said we have a Patreon. We do.
It's real.
It's real. You could give us money.
And should. Why aren't you?
Yeah, we need money.
Without ads, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well. Give us money.
And this pitch doesn't sound
also,
all
if you give
sketchy.
Us money, you can fast forward to the end of any episode and see who won. So you'll know before all your friends.
You for no longer having to listen to the episode.
This Whoa. Episode, Dylan won.
Did I?
Oh, yeah. Kevin yeah. decides yeah. at the end of every episode who won.
Yeah.
Dylan won.
See, like if you were supporting the Patreon, you would have known this like an hour ago.
Mark that down for your Fantasy Awesome Cast League results.
Oh, yeah. For those keeping score at home... Because, remember, at the end of the season, whoever's fantasy player goes the furthest
and remember,
gets a prize.
You can play online at DraftKings.com/AwesomeCast. The slash AwesomeCast lets them know that you came from us.
Are you actually going to set up that affiliate account now?
I mean, I might.
OSMCast.com/mybrother.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Some
Anyways.
Of these were real, most of these were not. It's up to you to find out which is which.
And then you score points.
We're teaching you media literacy.
And the real winner is you, who went to iTunes or wherever you listen to these things, and gave us 5 stars. We need all those stars. Vote for Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. Thanks.
We're out. We'll be right back.